This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Our next guest, Levon Helm, was the drummer in the group The Band. That's the group that backed Bob Dylan after he went electric and went on to become famous in its own right after the release of the 1968 album Music from Big Pink, which featured Helm singing lead on The Wait. In December, Helm released his first solo album in 25 years. It won a Grammy Award last month as Best Traditional Folk Album. It's called Dirt Farmer, and it features traditional songs and contemporary songs in that style. When Dirt Farmer was released, the Washington Post Review described it as, quote, an exquisitely unvarnished monument to Americana for a man whose keening lyrical vocals have become synonymous with it, unquote. It's remarkable that Helm's singing is this good after he was diagnosed as having cancer in his vocal cords in 1998. He was able to start singing again in 2004. For the past 4 years, he's presided over what he calls his midnight rambles, intimate concerts with his famous and not-so-famous friends at the barn that's become his home recording studio in Woodstock, New York. Terry spoke with Levon Helm in December. Let's start with the opening track from Dirt Farmer.
That's Levon Helm from his new CD, Dirt Farmer. Levon Helm, welcome to Fresh Air. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect when I put your CD on because I knew about your vocal cancer. And your singing is so great on this, and it's so full out. And I'm wondering if the act of singing has changed for you, either technically or emotionally, since your recovery.
You know, it's a it's a lot more fun for me these days. I'm not quite as hard on myself as I used to be, and I still haven't fallen in love with the sound of my voice, but I am able to get some satisfaction when we try and do these tunes, and it takes me a little while sometimes, but it's an interesting process.
So I know that your first doctor told you that he'd perform surgery and you'd need a voice box, but after the second opinion, you went with radiation treatments instead, which seemed to be effective in stopping the cancer. But were you able to imagine life with a voice box?
I couldn't. It was just a horrible thing, to face since then. I have friends, of course, that have faced it and have conquered it. So it's it's just one of those burdens that some of us have to bear. My saving grace was to run into Dr. Krause down at Sloan Kettering in New York, and they certainly saved my bacon.
Let's hear another song from your new CD, Dirt Farmer. And I want to play The Blind Child. I really love your recording of this. I wasn't familiar with the song before. How do you know the song?
Oh, that's one of those old back porch songs that my dad and my mom and my aunts and uncles used to sing and play for each other. Those were Blind Child and Little Birds and The Girl I Left Behind. Those were some of the first songs that we started with. Those were the working title. The original working title was Songs from Home.
Well, let's hear Blind Child, and this is from Levon Helm's new CD, Dirt Farmer.
They tell me, Father, that tonight you'll wed another bride, that you will say her name is Mary too. They name my mother Ward. But tell me, Father, is she kind? Is the one you loved before? And is her step so soft and light? So meek and mild. And tell me, Father, will she love your blind and a helpless child? Is resting on the shelf. Her books are lying here, and as they harp, her fingers touched, there's her vacant chair, the chair whereby her side I knelt to say clothes, he this little dark curly hair, and the very last words that the blind child spoke, there'll be no blind ones there. Oh, the very last words that the blind child spoke, there'll be no blind ones there.
That's Blind Child from Levon Helm's new album, Dirt Farmer. You said you learned this song as a child. Did the song scare you as a child because it's about a child who's blind and whose mother's died? And it's a really tragic song.
Yes, it is. It's one of those story songs, a true-to-life kind of a song. And those were the songs that people really went for back then. Anything else was suspect. It could be something that somebody just made up, you know, with no real bearing to it. So songs like that were the ones that had lasted and stood the test of time when my folks came along.
You know, I'm interested in the fact that you've done an album of largely traditional songs and more contemporary songs written in the manner of traditional songs. You know, I listened back to our 1993 interview a few days ago, and I had quoted to you something in your memoir, which was published in 93, and you had said that you were reluctant to record with Dylan initially because you thought Dylan was too folky. And in the interview, you said, we, meaning your band at the time, the Hawks, we were more into R&B and blues music. We weren't big folk fans. We liked horns, rhythm sections. We liked the full house on the bandstand. And Bob Dylan was coming from more of a troubadour kind of place, just him and his guitar. What happened between then and now to change your mind about recording folk music?
Well, it sounds like we all got religion, don't it? Yeah, you know, what I meant to say, I guess, is I still kind of feel that way. I'm a drummer, and Bob was a strummer without a drummer when we first ran into each other. So, I'm just not drawn to songs that don't involve a set of drums and a full rhythm section.
Since 2006, you've been doing Midnight Rambles.
Yeah.
At your home and studio.
Uh-huh.
And these are just, you describe what they are.
Well, they're basically music parties. We have, you know, 2-3, sometimes one a week, at least 2 or 3 a month. And we have them on Saturday nights in Woodstock at the studio. And it started out as basically a modern version of the old-fashioned rent party. But since then, the musicians that have taken part in it have really raised it to another level. And I guess it's 3 years going on 4 years later now. And we have people that are coming in from all over the place to celebrate with us. That includes the players, too.
Did you need it as a rent party? Because I know after you got sick, you had to declare bankruptcy.
This is true. Well, it started off as a rent party, so to speak. It looked like the studio was going to be put on the blocks because I was in pretty rough shape financially. And just as I started to kind of get my voice back and was able to work a little more, is when we tried the Midnight Ramble. And it paid the rent, so we basically kept it up. And now this much later, it's really turned into a benefit for a lot of the players.
Now, you named the Midnight Ramble after concerts that you saw as a child growing up in Arkansas. Describe the Midnight Rambles that yours are named after.
Well, there used to be one of my favorite traveling tent shows at the time was an outfit called, it was called the F.S. Walcott's Original Rabbit's Foot Minstrels. And this was a big five-polar tent that they set up, and they parked two of the big tractor-trailer flatbeds side to side to make the stage, put the tent around that, and they had a chorus line, a band, a troupe of singers, dancers, and players, and they would put on in these small towns through the South. They would play every week, and to the concert. At the end of the concert, which would be over around 10:30, 11, they would offer a Midnight Ramble ticket. And for the people who could stay up late, all the kids were supposed to go home and get ready for school or Sunday school. And the grown-ups could stay and buy an extra ticket and get an extra half hour, 45 minutes of music and spicier jokes. And one of the prettiest girls in the chorus line would do a little hoochie-coochie, and what a show.
Well, is there's no like hoochie-coochie in your Midnight Ramble, is there?
You know, we've almost had it break out a couple of times. Amy and Larry Campbell's mom the other night jumped up and started doing a little hoochie-coochie.
Now, getting back to the Midnight Rambles, which are kind of like house parties, but on a very elevated level, you write in your memoir that your father used to perform weekends at house parties.
Oh, yeah.
Did he
yeah.
tell you stories about that, or were you old enough to go to any of them when he was still doing it?
Well, you know, by the time that I got old enough to go, televisions were just starting to come out. And we didn't get electricity and didn't have one yet, but the trend was started towards couch potato and, you know, just the participation generation was going by the wayside. And I didn't have a chance to play many of those house parties. I got to go to a few as a young kid. I remember one night they had one at my uncle's house. And my Uncle Pudge, who also played guitar, and I had a big grocery box, pasteboard box, and I beat that thing to death that night. I was I volunteered to play percussion, but that was the old move the furniture out of the biggest room and a guitar player, a fiddle player, and maybe a mandolin player was about the strength of the band.
Let me choose another song from the new CD. This is Single Girl, Married Girl, which I believe is another song that you grew up with.
Well, it's just another one of those songs. It's kind of in that same area there, and it gave me as a drummer another opportunity to kind of monkey up the beat of a traditional country rhythm.
So here it is from Levon Helm's new CD, Dirt Farmer.
1, 2, 3.
That's Single Girl, Married Girl from Levon Helm's new CD, Dirt Farmer. There's such great harmonies on your CD, and your daughter Amy does most of the harmony singing on this.
Well, that's Amy and Teresa Williams, Larry Campbell's wife, and that's one of the great gifts from Dirt Farmer for me is the sound of Amy and Teresa's harmonies. We didn't know before Dirt Farmer that they would blend and sound the way they sound together.
I've asked this to other performers who have ended up performing with their adult children. But when your daughter was born, did you ever think, this is my future performing partner? She's just arrived.
No, I never did. I guess I had the same hopes for Amy that my parents had for me. I wanted Amy to be a scholar. You know, my parents wanted me to be smart and be a scholar, and the best I could do was graduate high school. And bless her heart, Amy, I got to say, she did finish school out at Wisconsin and made a beautiful picture of her in her graduating robe, and I'm so proud of her. But the same bug bit Amy that bit me, and she fell back in with the rhythm section as soon as she got out of school.
Your father was a cotton farmer but performed on weekends. What kind of songs would he do, the kinds of songs you've done on your new CD?
You know, he would probably have done, things like the up-tempo stuff that we do on Dirt Farmer. Some of those tunes he would have done. And I know one of the old songs, we didn't do it in this recording phase, but Settin' on Top of the World was an old favorite back then. You know, don't you come here running, holding out your hand. I've been your daddy, I've been your man, but now I'm gone and I ain't worried. I'm sitting on top of the world.
Yeah, and didn't Cream record that too? And of course, Bob Wills.
I think they did, and
yeah.
I'm sure my dad, jumped the beat up like Cream did, to make it as danceable as possible.
Now, you performed with your sister when you were a teenager and won a lot of contests.
Yeah, my baby sister.
This is your younger sister.
Yeah.
Okay. And you read in your memoir that, in those performances, you would play harmonica, jew's harp, and slap your thighs. Are there ever occasions that musically that call for thigh slapping now?
Well, that's the old ham bone trick. When I was coming through school, that was one of the things that you wanted to learn how to do was ham bone. And that's, how you slap your hand on your leg and your chest. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but like that. And it was just one of those things that you learned as a kid. you know, in the South Arkansas schools, and not knowing how to play guitar or anything, that was my first first reaction to music.
So you were doing that before you had a drum kit?
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about your music, but you've also been in a few films, including Coal Miner's Daughter, The Right Stuff, and most recently you were in The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada, which was directed by Tommy Lee Jones, who also starred in it. And you have a small but terrific part in it. And I want to play that scene. Tommy Lee Jones in the movie is going across the desert to bury his friend in the small town that his friend wanted to be buried in. So he's on this kind of like almost epic journey, taking the corpse, like dragging the corpse to the burial place. And he comes upon you, a blind man living alone in the middle of nowhere, and you make a very unusual request. Here's the scene.
I'd like to ask you a favor.
Anything you want.
I wanted to ask you, if you can shoot me. My son ain't coming back.
Oh, he'll come back.
No, he told me he had cancer. And he told me to go back to town with him. But I don't want to go, because I've always lived here.
Well, we can't do it.
I don't want to offend God by killing myself. It's a problem.
We don't want to offend God either.
It'd be the best thing to do. You're good people. You need to go ahead and shoot me.
What a great scene. What did you do to get into character? You play a blind man who I think is probably older than you are. You have scars and everything, you know, around your eyes. So did you just kind of walk in and do it, or did you, like, prepare?
No, I'm just one of those guys that goes in and tries to do it. I don't know enough about it to prepare myself. You know, I try and sleep as good as I can, and just enjoy it. I enjoy being with people who do know how to do that stuff. And I've never had anything but a good time around any of those shows that I've had the opportunity to be part of.
You know, your new CD is dedicated to your parents. And you perform on that CD with your daughter. Are you surprised now at the power of blood? And I ask that knowing that, like, you know, you left Arkansas at a pretty young age. And traveling around as a musician around the world, as you did with the band, I would imagine it would be easy to lose track of your family. But family in your early life and certainly now is so essential. I mean, the way you describe it, your daughter helped you survive. She took you to your radiation treatments in New York every week during the duration. She sings with you now. She co-produced the record. So I'm wondering if, like, you know, family ties have a different meaning to you than you thought they would have when you were, say, in your 20s or 30s.
They are stronger for me now, and I've always appreciated my family and friends, you know, and those ties that bind us together. But it's like my music. This much later, and after you've almost got everything taken away from you, once you get that back, boy, it's a joyful life that we've all been given. And, you know, you can really, you know, when you see a young nephew or a young person in your family that's blood related, and you see them for the first time, and they're not old enough to know that you're all related, but you can look into their face and they look into your eyes and you both know it. You know, we take it for granted, and you know, we enjoy that kind of thing without even a big thank you most of the time.
Thank you so much for talking with us, and
thank you, Terry, for calling. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for playing the record.
We're really glad you're recording again and performing.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Thank you,
Levon Helm, speaking to Terry Gross last December. Dirt Farmer, his first solo album in 25 years, recently won the Grammy for Best Traditional Folk Album. Levon Helm and his band are on tour this spring and summer, including appearances at the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival in June and the Newport Folk Festival in August. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley.